Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Lots to get through today. Don Hutchinson with us a little later on to reflect on what proved to be a terrible day for Antonio Conte's Inter. Meanwhile, Stevie here to reflect on what happened in the Premier League. Plus, Stefano Fusaro takes inside the bubble in MLS and how the players are keeping themselves occupied. We start, though, in La Liga. Real Madrid still 4 points clear at the top of La Liga table after a 1-0 victory over Athletic Bilbao. However, Barcelona trying to make a fight of it. They beat Villarreal 4-1 at the Camp Nou today, and it's in Catalonia that we start as we welcome in Ali Moreno and Frank Leboeuf to the show. Ali, sometimes my job is very easy because the most obvious question after that Barcelona performance is, why don't they do that every week?
Well, and I'm sure that that's a question that every hardcore Barcelona fan is asking themselves right now. Now, here's the thing. While people are going to jump on very quickly on the idea of Antoine Griezmann playing well because he's finally playing in the position that he feels most comfortable, that is a very simple and very easy and obvious argument to make. The counterpart to that argument is, or the other part to that argument is, the fact that if Antoine Griezmann is going to play in the position that he feels most comfortable, that also means that somebody else has to change position. Somebody else has to change their game. It only happens that that somebody else that has to change his game and has to modify what he does on the field is Lionel Messi. And so therefore, you have to ask the question to the biggest Griezmann fan out there: if indeed you're going to change the position and the role of a player on this team, is that going to be Griezmann or is that going to be Messi? And the answer to that question is only one, and that is Antoine Griezmann. Today, in the short term, it looked good. It worked well. The back and forth between Luis Suarez and the understanding with Antoine Griezmann playing off of each other, that Griezmann sometimes would drop off into a playmaking position, then Messi would go into a higher role and an attacking in the final third, and the plays interchange between the two of them. When Luis Suarez showed to hold the ball up, then Griezmann was running beyond him. And you're thinking, well, yes, how come you haven't done this more often? And the truth is, it changes the dynamic of the team. And against a team like Villarreal, it worked because Villarreal lends itself to Barcelona playing the way that they want to play. Villarreal is not a team that's going to get in your face. It's more of a possession team, a lot like Barcelona. And Barcelona, a better version of Villarreal at that. And so today was perfect. Today was great. And today you saw from Antoine Griezmann the potential of what he could be at Barcelona. He just hasn't shown a lot of that for long periods of time this season. Some people will point to the position. I'll point to the fact that there's been times in which we have seen a Antoine Griezmann that has lacked confidence. Somewhere in the middle is the true Barcelona. But today is not a reflection of what Barcelona has been throughout the course of the season.
Do you agree, Frank?
I do agree, but if I can add something, is the game that Sergio Roberto had also to compensate the position of the three. Because in fact, they play at two at front, which is maybe the first time of the season that we see that. And it's why maybe Griezmann was comfortable. Messi could play wherever he wanted, like he always do. But yeah, I agree with Ali. He tried to play with Griezmann, and his will has been a real success tonight. And we saw some wonderful moves between the two, or between the three with Suarez. But I wanna really emphasize the work of Sergio Roberto before he was moved on the right side, but when he played on the left side to compensate and defend well and help the three to be able to do whatever they wanted. So the question is why, if Keke Setién is able to make that decision, but only four games before the end, why he didn't do that before? Why he needed to be questioned by a Griezmann father if he was driving the truck or not? He gave an answer today, but it's maybe a late answer because maybe they lost the championship, the Liga, because of that late decision when he has the player. He has the right player at the right position tonight.
Ali,
a couple of things that I wanted to address there, Dan, that I think are good points there by Frank. The idea of Sergio Roberto and indeed also Arturo Vidal two guys who have to cover defensively, because you know that you're not going to get any work defensively for Lionel Messi. And if he's going to be at the top of that diamond, if he's going to play underneath the strikers and he's not going to defend, you're going to need guys who are going to say, you know what, my job and my role on this field right now is to win the ball and win spaces in behind Lionel Messi, because he's not coming back. And that's part of the reason you don't sacrifice Lionel Messi and put him further down the field, because you're saying to yourself, man, if he's not coming back and Griezmann's not coming back and, of course, Suarez is not coming back, now we're out of position and Semedo is going forward and then Jordi Alba is going forward. And so now we're on balance. And so, therefore, you need the work of Sergio Roberto. You need the work of Arturo Vidal to balance off. And I agree totally with Frank there. Now, as to why this hasn't happened, well, I think that in itself answers the question. You are dropping Lionel Messi, your guy, your attacking talent, the best player perhaps in the history of the game. You're telling him, go further away from goal. Now, this is a guy that's been scoring the key goals for you. So in order to make that decision and saying, you know what, we're better off if you're further away from goal, because that accommodates the best abilities of Antoine Griezmann. That's a big sacrifice to make, and today it worked. But today, Lionel Messi did not score a goal. Now, that's the thing that Barcelona sort of has to answer, and Setien has to answer. Are we willing to sacrifice the offensive productivity of Lionel Messi, and is he willing to buy into that? Because that means that Barcelona is going to win games. On today's evidence, you say yes. But long-term, not sure that that's going to be the answer.
Well, big picture long-term, Ali, of course, it's all about the Champions League. You've got the return leg against Napoli in August and then those three one-off matches in Portugal. If it works, collectively better for the team for Lionel to play deeper and Griezmann to play in his preferred position, then surely Messi, who we know is so desperate for this trophy, will swallow it.
And I'm sure he will. And if there's one thing that we have learned about Lionel Messi, or at least that's the perception that we have, is that he's all about the success of the team. Okay. Well, now here's a real opportunity to prove that, because your role is going to change. If indeed this is about what's best for the group, then, okay, Lionel Messi has to drop off a little bit further from goal in a playmaking position that, by the way, he has taken that role on this season, perhaps not by design, but naturally he has drifted back further away from goal to be a playmaker and to be the guy who finds the passes. But here's what needs to happen. Antoine Griezmann needs to continue to play the way that he played today, because the moment that Lionel Messi sees that those balls that he's providing Luis Suarez or Antoine Griezmann or Ansu Fati or whoever's in that front line, if those balls are not producing any sort of results, then Messi is going to go on his own and he's going to do what he wants. And what he wants is be desperate to score goals and be desperate to create something for Barcelona. And in doing that, the team gets disorganized.
How key is getting this balance right going forward, Frank? Have we seen a glimpse of today of maybe how we could see it play out next month?
Well, for me, it's not going to be solved by the three and how they're going to work. As we agreed with Ali, I think it's really the position of, for tonight, Vidal and Sergio Roberto to work very hard to defend and to compensate. De Jong's going to be back as well, and I think he's going to take Vidal's place. You have some young players coming, Ricky Puig, who work hard and every time comes create something good. Rakitic can help somehow. I think it's going to work. It has to work, because it's been shown today that the only way that Barcelona is back to, we'll say, what we used to see. And I don't think it's going to be a real problem to see Messi a little bit behind the two others, because tonight he scored a goal. It was denied by an offside from Vidal, I think, and he hit the post with a free kick. So he's going to be there. He's going to score penalties. He's going to score all the goals. But everybody has to understand, for the best of Barcelona, especially if Messi wants to win the Champions League with his teammates, that he has to do that. And they have to play at two at front with Suarez and Griezmann, because it worked today and it was the evidence of a great future for them.
This was a must-win game, of course, for Barcelona, as earlier in the day Real Madrid managed a 1-0 victory away against Athletic Bilbao. Once again with Real Madrid, it was a controversial win. Let's start with what Ekai Muniain had to say. This is the Athletic Bilbao forward saying, we've seen how things have gone in recent weeks. Depending which team it is, some penalties are given. Let everyone reach their own conclusions. Iñaki Williams putting out a tweet as well, putting a penalty that he felt Athletic Bilbao should have had. Let's start off with the Real Madrid penalty that was given that proved to be the difference. Right decision, Frank?
Yes, for me it's the right decision because I think even if the defender is before Marcelo, I don't know what he's doing. He tries to control the ball when you have to kick the ball away, and he makes a contact willing to protect the ball, and in fact making an obstruction to Marcelo, avoiding him to get the ball back, and he stamps on him. So there is a contact. So you can say it's a penalty. Yeah, it's a penalty for me.
Now, moments after that, Athletic Bilbao felt that they should have had a penalty. Raul Garcia apparently stood on by Sergio Ramos. Ali, what do you think?
Okay. You seen the replays, Dan? Why are you saying apparently stood on Raul Garcia? Yeah. He did. So, and here's the thing. If you're an Athletic Bilbao fan, and by extension a Barcelona fan, you're looking at this and you're saying, wait a minute. So Marcelo gets stood on and stepped on, that's a penalty. But then Sergio Ramos, whether he means it or not, whether it's fortuitous or not, he steps on Raul Garcia and VAR doesn't take a look at that. Every part of you as a fan is going to say, wait a minute, what's going on in here? What's this all about? Why are we favoring Real Madrid? To me, it's once again VAR not being used and implemented the way it should. It was correct in the Marcelo call, and it was a penalty for Real Madrid. But at the very least, they should have taken a closer look at what this play was with Raul Garcia and Sergio Ramos, because there's no doubt that Sergio Ramos steps on the player. And if one step is a penalty on one 18-yard box, then it should be a penalty on the other 18-yard box.
So a couple of points that have been brought up, the first being it was accidental from Sergio Ramos, Frank.
Yes, of course, it can be accidental, but I think it's from the defender when Marcelo is stamped on his foot, is also accidental. So both are accidental, but there is, on both sides, contact. And I heard another stupid thing, that saying that there weren't any ball in between Raul Garcia and Ramos when Ramos stamped on Raul Garcia. That's the most stupid thing that I ever heard. So it means that you can kick somebody if you don't have the ball to run. No, for me, there was a penalty on Marcelo, but it's definitely a penalty on Raul Garcia because it's the same situation. Ball or without ball, I don't know. And I don't want to blame Real Madrid. I don't want players to be blamed. That's only, as Ali said, the VAR or the referee decision. I don't know if they love Real Madrid. That's not the question. They are making so many mistakes. That is completely insane. That is insane in that level. Just check the VAR and maybe you will see that Ramos did the same thing that the defender, and I forgot his name, on Marcelo. So it's penalty on both sides. That's it.
Sergio Ramos said, it's true that I stepped on Raul Garcia, but he's behind me and I didn't see him. The ball is not in play. I don't think it's anything, Ali.
Stupid. Sergio, stupid. I love you, bro. I love your beer and the man bun. I love everything about you, but you're wrong. Because that's no excuse. The fact that you don't know he's there is no excuse. It's your responsibility to be aware of your surroundings as a defender. You can't just step on players because you don't know that they're there. The truth of the matter is that, first of all, Sergio Ramos is too good of a defender to not know that Raul Garcia is behind him. His experience and his ability to see the field will let him know what his surroundings are and what is around him. And so, therefore, that's an argument that has no validity whatsoever. And even if he doesn't know and he steps on the player, it's still his responsibility, still a foul, still should have been a penalty.
It wasn't, though, as if the ball was being crossed in at the time, Ali. It was faffing around outside the box. Does that make any difference?
Dan, I don't know if this is the moment in which you take that Barcelona jacket that you have and just take it off and just showcase your Real Madrid jersey. But the truth is that there is no excuse for Sergio Ramos to just step on a player, whether it's an accident or not. As Frank just very eloquently said it, And then he put it, you can't just go around kicking people on the field, even if the ball is not anywhere around you. That's unacceptable. That is a foul. That is foul play, and therefore it should have been a penalty. There's no doubt about that. And if VAR had indeed gotten involved correctly, there is no doubt that this step on Raúl García should have been a penalty.
Andújar Oliver, former La Liga referee, says, Frank, Ramos stomping on Raúl García is involuntary. It is not a penalty.
Yeah, but that's stupid. That's very insane what I hear. Because I think that the defender of on Marcelo's fault didn't do it on
Danny
purpose
García.
As well. It was accidental. Yes, thank you. He didn't do it on purpose. So it was a mistake. He had the ball on top of it.
But the ball was just there, wasn't it, Frank? The fact the ball was there in the box, that make any difference?
Yeah, but the thing is, Raúl García cannot be after in the cross because he's on the floor. Because he's been stamped on his foot by Ramos. So you can find anything that you want. There is a foul on Marcelo because that's stupid what the defender did it, and he should have kicked the ball away, but not protect it and make an obstruction. But when Ramos stamps on Raúl García, wherever the ball is, you're not allowed to stamp on some player's foot anywhere on the field.
He didn't see him, Frank. He didn't know he was there.
yes. As Ali said, Sergio Ramos, he may be the best defender in the world. He knows where Raúl García is. And I know that guy is so clever that maybe he might have done that on purpose.
What is your cat? Did we just see your cat in shot, Frank? What does he think about it all?
My cat, they said, that's a tricky stamp from Ramos. He should have been red carded.
regardless of whether or not it should have been a penalty, at the other end, we saw Sergio Ramos convert his 22nd consecutive penalty. This is quite something. A couple of things I always think with Ramos was that big miss that he had against Bayern Munich those years ago in the Champions League, Frank. And today you had all the fighting that was going on outside the box. It seemed to take an age for him to take the pen. But once again, it was unstoppable.
Yeah, he's really amazing. I mean, I used to, I was a penalty taker, and I know the pressure that you have, especially on games like that, where you know that if you win, you might win the title. And you have nobody, or it's real silence, but you see people fighting. And you look at on the replay where he never look at the ball. He always look at the goalkeeper to see if he's going to dive, whether on the left or right, and picks the right side and really put the ball at the right place. I mean, that's a real art for him. He's a real specialist. He has the nerves to shoot it like that. I mean, you know that I'm a fan of Sergio Ramos, the way he works, the way he defends. Even if he makes lots of fouls, but the way he kicks penalties is a real art, and I am very, very impressed.
Mentally, Ali, I couldn't cope with that. I'd start crying, running on the run-up. Mentally, you know the pressure's on you. You know all eyes are on you as a Real Madrid captain. Your one chance probably to win the game. And it just delivers time after time.
Part of that, Dan, is that he wants to be in that position. It's the basketball player who wants the ball at the end of the game because he wants to make the game-winning shot. It's that guy. It's the guy who wants all the eyes and all the pressure and everybody looking at him. And that is the reason as to why I look at Sergio Ramos. And there's no doubt in my mind that he is the face of Real Madrid. Whether you think of Gareth Bale and you think of Eden Hazard or Karim Benzema or some of the other players that this team has that are also big-name players. The face and the personality of this team is Sergio Ramos. And the way that he plays and the way that he wins is the way that this team wins. It's tough. It's physical. It's 50-50 challenges. It's doing what you need to do in order to get 3 points. And you see that time and time again from Sergio Ramos. You have seen it over the course of his career. And currently you're seeing it with some consistency in front of Real Madrid. It's a team that has a lot of talent. It's a team that can pass the ball around. But over the last couple of games, they have said, you know what? We're going to fight our way through this. And they have been very successful. You've asked me time and time again that this team, whether this team needed to be perfect from the restart in order for them to have a chance to win the title. Well, they have been perfect. They have held their end of the bargain. Barcelona has not.
The final question, completely off topic. Would playing in that beard not get in the way, Frank? That's hot.
What?
Excuse me. I don't want to answer to that question. I mean, I don't know where it comes from.
Well, you know, no, it's not just a genuine question. It's blooming hot in Spain. You've got a big beard in your face running around everywhere. As a man who couldn't grow that sort of
beard. It's okay, you know, it's okay. You breathe with your nose and your mouth, you know, and that's all right. I know I've got a beard. And you, that's okay. The length of the beard doesn't change anything for your breathing. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. Ali, please, can you answer for me? I don't know.
Well, surely it's hot. This is my point. It's very hot with all that on your face.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking. I don't have hair, and I get burnt, and I'm so hot because I don't have hair. So maybe, I don't know, here, if you get hot because you have a beard, try once, Dan. It's nothing to do. I mean, there's nothing to answer about that, you know. I love that question. It should be on extra time.
Well, no, I know. But if I'm wearing a big fur coat, it's difficult to play soccer in it, surely.
Yeah, but there is some air. I mean, air, not hair. Air goes through the beard. That's all right. That's all right.
Top analysis continues. To Sebi's here tomorrow. Ask him serious, proper journalistic questions in Sid Lowe about playing in a beard. Be sure to check that show out. Thank you very much, gents.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's turn our attentions now then, shall we, to the Premier League. Four matches today, 1-1 between Burnley and Sheffield United. It was a 2-2 draw between Newcastle United and West Ham. West Ham letting Newcastle back into the game twice. Meanwhile, Liverpool with a 2-0 victory over Aston Villa. We'll start though at St Mary's. Southampton beating Manchester City by 1-0. Don Shacker and Stevie with us. Stevie, big deal?
I think it's a big deal because of what's going on defensively for City. I don't think it's a big deal that they have 1,000 chances and can't score, because you are going to have a day like that. So that's not a huge deal for me, really. The biggest problem is watching them defensively. I mean, the goal they lost was an individual mistake. No surprise coming from Man City. And of course, they could have lost two or three other goals when Southampton were breaking against them, because they just don't know how to organise themselves. They don't have anybody leading them. They don't have anybody telling somebody to go to the ball. They're just a shambles. That is the biggest problem, I think, when you watch this game today. That's the big worry.
Don, as much as you can talk about the fact that City gave the ball away in midfield for the only goal of the game, it was one heck of a finish.
It was a brilliant finish from Che Adams, his first in Southampton shirt. And I think it was interesting when he scored the goal, I think all the Southampton players sort of ran across to the coaching staff, because they've obviously worked on that. They've worked on trying to press Man City. And when Man City have got the ball at the back, Edison sort of comes quite central and the two centre-halves then split. So obviously when they lose the ball in a dangerous area, Southampton was setting traps for them all afternoon. But what a finish from Che Adams. I mean, I don't think he'll score a better one in a Southampton shirt.
You would have saved that when you shank?
Yeah, because that would have been on my line. That's the difference. Edison, just give him how City plays, and he sits right in behind the back four and is a super keeper plus an extra couple of yards. So as a result, he's off his line, well off his line. And Adam sees that, he knows that. Southampton, I think, know that as well. But he takes it so well. Let's take nothing away from the finish. I thought it was simply fantastic.
We saw City make quite a few changes for this game, Stevie. It's almost like a pre-season now leading up to the return of the Champions League. If you're Pep, how do you play this rotation game?
I think you just keep doing what you're doing. I think when it comes to the FA Cup semi-final, you have to put your best team on the park, because I think it's important with the Champions League coming up that they just continue to play. And if they get knocked out of the FA Cup, it means they're going to have a couple of weeks off somewhere along the line before they play Real Madrid. So I think that's important, but no. Listen, with the possession and the way they played today, And you think of the changes that he made, and then when you can bring people like De Bruyne on and Foden, I mean, regardless of who he plays, they're a team that nobody wants to play against.
How concerned, though, would you be about Gabriel Jesus' form, Don? I've got him in my fantasy team. I just don't know. I just can't drop him because I think he's going to score at some stage, surely, with Kun Aguero injured. Yet since Aguero has gone off, Jesus has started, he hasn't scored.
No, I think he's one of these footballers where I think you'd give him a lot of time because you know that his attitude is good. He's infectious the way he closes down. Everything about his game is really good. But for a centre forward, when you're trying to replace Aguero, you know, one of the Premier League's best ever strikers, he's not on that level. He might even get to that level, but doesn't make him a bad player. But you can see the more the game went on today, he actually didn't even want half the chances. We've all been there when we were having a bad game, whether it's Shaqiri in goal or Stevie or myself. You know, when you're having a dip in form, you know, you just need a tap in. You just need something to go for you. And I think he's a streaky striker. What he is when he scores, I think his confidence levels will come back extremely high very quickly. But at the minute, you can actually see in his body language, he's going through one.
City confident Aguero will be back for the Champions League. If he's not, though, Xhaka, how much of an obstacle could this be for City going forward in this tournament if Jesus starts?
I think it's huge. We've said this. I don't think he's the replacement for Kun Aguero. And listen, that's a big pair of shoes to fill for anybody. Given how good Kun Aguero is, given the clinical finisher that he continues to show he is. But Gabriel Jesus just isn't that. And as he goes through real peaks and troughs. The trouble is the peaks are just too short. The troughs are a little bit too long. And Don is right. He's infectious. He works hard. But he's just not the kind of finisher that City needs to go far in the biggest competition in European football, where chances are at a premium. When chances are at a premium, you need the instinctive finishing of Kun Aguero. You can't rely on Gabriel Jesus having a good day because those are becoming too few and far between.
Is that harsh, Stevie?
No, not at all. And it's unfortunate, whether it's Jesus or anybody else that steps on the field and trying to replace Aguero, you're going to be compared. And there's no other way to go up to say it than the truth. And what Xhaka said is spot on. You know, he does not do the things that Aguero does. And he's not as smooth as Aguero. I mean, again, I'm sitting here comparing him again because it's impossible not to. He's just, there's not too many people that can replace Aguero, let's be honest. But the one thing we do know is that Jesus isn't going to do it.
Meanwhile, Liverpool bouncing back after that defeat midweek against Manchester City to defeat Aston Villa by 2-0. Stevie, what do we say about this game?
Well, you can tell Liverpool's got the title wrapped up. It's just got playing out the season written all over it. I mean, it was a complete and utter snooze fest, honestly. I barely woke up to see the goals, but I mean, as much as everybody keeps saying they're chasing records, I'm sure Klopp's the one who's thinking about records because the players aren't. You know, when you say to a player, "Oh, by the way, you can win it by the most points, or you can win it by the most games," or players don't really take that stuff in. It's not on the top of the list, so they're not bothered about it. And you can see the way they're playing that. Season's done, get me home.
But Stevie, you say that the players aren't bothered, but maybe Klopp is. Can he not make them bothered about it?
Well, it's one thing, Dan, to have a team talk and to G people up before the game starts. And then you walk out into an empty stadium with no atmosphere whatsoever, and then you've got to play a game of football. I mean, you talk about sucking the air out of the balloon. That's exactly what happens. As soon as you walk on the field, you've got nothing to play for.
You wait till they break the record, Steve, and be like, yes, this is one of the proudest days in Liverpool's history. Xhaka, do you agree? Like, as a player...
Here's the thing. You don't realise. You really don't realise that all the... It's not until you've finished... All right.
Ignore them, Stevie. They're being mean. Carry on.
I thought it was you.
No, it was them.
Oh, it was... No, the thing is, it's not until later on when you're finished, then you actually, somebody goes, "Oh, by the way, you were in the team that did this and did that," and you go, "Oh, yeah, that's great." You don't think about that at the time.
Do you agree, boys? It's the media who care more about records than the players?
And listen, I think the media and the fans would care a whole lot about that. But Stevie's right. As players, you don't. And listen, I've not won a title, as you well know, Dan, but I've been in teams with nothing to play for at the end of the season. And as your manager tries to get you for those games, 15 minutes in, you've had enough and it's time to go. I sense exactly the same from Liverpool right now.
Shaka, 15 minutes in, what have you done during that time? Just stand in goal. You don't even have to run around.
I'm talking about generally, Dan Thomas, just generally.
Don, you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just wonder, thinking outside the box, I know what Jurgen Klopp said before the game when he said he's going to try and play his strongest side from now at the end of the season. But I just wonder if he might be, you know, forget about the points total, forget about certain records. I just wonder, thinking outside the box, can he not rest the majority of his main players? Because he's in a position where City are still in the Champions League. A lot of the teams in the Premier League are fighting for Champions League spots, Europa League spots. Liverpool have got the league title. Can he not rest the majority of players and make sure they get a head start on everyone else come the summer or come when the season starts in September and give them a real good rest rather than playing them every single week? Just blood some of the youngsters, give some of them their Premier League legs, and it might serve them well for the start of the season.
Meanwhile, let's just move away from the action that we saw today, and rumours are continuing to snowball regarding Kai Havertz and the possibility of him moving away from Bayer Leverkusen, of course heavily linked to Bayern Munich, but also Chelsea as well. We know you and your sources, Don. What are you hearing?
Well, I'll ring David Moyes tomorrow and see if he can afford him. Probably not. Moyes will definitely text me back. And I'll definitely text Jody Morris and Frank, and they will probably text me back after about 1,000 texts that I send them. But listen, I think everyone in the Premier League would want him. I think that includes Man City, that includes Liverpool, certainly would include Chelsea. I think Chelsea have got more pressing issues, if I'm honest. I think if I was in Frank Lampard's shoes, I'd be looking at the best centre-halves in Europe rather than more firepower. But certainly, I love Kai Havertz. I've been watching him for a long time. And every time I watch him, I just see a superstar. I see stardust in him. The game comes easy. He's got great height, great balance, gets goals, he gets assists. You know, for one that's really young, he looks like the finished article.
But as Don says, if you're Chelsea, Shaq, you've got a lot of firepower there already. You need defence, maybe you need a new goalkeeper. That should be your priorities ahead of Havertz?
Absolutely. I think Chelsea have a lot more problems than up front, where I think not only do they have a good starting 11, but they probably have as much depth in that position off the bench than in the others. There are far more pressing issues. And if I were advising Frank, that's where I think they should focus, because ultimately, we know Abramovich hasn't backed this club and the spending in the way that he'd done previously. You blow your budget on a top-heavy forward line that Chelsea now have, I think you have some of the same issues coming back to haunt you next season.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Shaka and Don with me. Talk about extra time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel where they answer some of your tweets.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Number of games in Italy today. We saw Atalanta win yet again, this time a 1-0 victory away against Cagliari. Meanwhile, in the late match, Napoli defeated Roma by 2-1. We'll start, though, with Inter against Bologna. Don's still with us. Don, this is such a crazy game. Inter, 1-0 up, Bologna down to 10 men. You thought 3 points from the bag. Antonio Conte's side then go on not only to concede the goal, but concede two and lose the match.
Yeah, it's been a common thread with Inter all season. They are so, so inconsistent. I mean, I commentated on a game a few days ago, and they drew 3-3 against Sassuolo, and Inter were terrible. I mean, how they come away with a draw on that game, I'll never know. And they've had a real bad end to the season, where at the start of the season, they were contenders, and you thought they might have a chance, and then the midsection of the season, they were still in contention. And then since the return, they've been all over the place. They're lacking fitness, they're lacking intensity, and they've certainly been lacking massively in quality.
What's happened, Dom? Because we've spent so much time maybe saying, this is it, Inter could get Juventus this season. And we saw flashes of that, didn't we, early on in the campaign? But as you say, this decline just seems to have continued and got worse and worse, especially after the break. Where do you point the finger?
Oh, I point the finger all over the place. I mean, Antonio Conte's signings for a start, some of his team selections. When you look at the front two in Lautaro Martinez and Lukaku, they've been the standout performers without a shadow of a doubt. And then all of a sudden, Christian Eriksen comes in and he is playing nowhere near the level that he was playing at when he was good at Tottenham. Alexis Sanchez has had some decent games, but he's inconsistent as well. So I think for Antonio Conte, he's probably looking at a pool of players that he's got and a squad that he's got, and it looks on paper like a really, really good squad, but the players are just not performing at their normal level.
So you've got to question Conte.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you have to question Antonio Conte. I mean, you know, he's a fantastic manager. He's been brought in to try and get them close to a title, which I said before, he's contending. But when you think of the signings that he's brought in, is Ashley Young, is Victor Moses, is Christian Eriksen, is Alexis Sanchez good enough to take them to a title? I mean, they're good enough on paper, and they might be good enough in individual games. But when you try and compare them to what Lazio are, and especially what Juve are solid all over the pitch and got a brilliant squad and got world-class players that will deliver most weeks.
And what's crazy is Inter have gone from title contenders to now battling for fourth, because Atalanta with yet another win today. This one not quite as swashbuckling as maybe we've seen. In the end, it was a penalty that was the difference between the two sides. But what a story this is, Don.
It's incredible. I mean, let me just hit you with some facts, and I'm not really a stats sort of person, but I've commentated on Atalanta so many times, and they've scored 3 goals, Dan, 7 times. They've scored 4 goals twice. They've scored 5 goals twice, and they've scored 7 3 times. I mean, Gasperini's men are so attacking. They score from all over the pitch. Iličić is in great form. Zapata, another one, when he leads the line, he gets his goals. Muriel gets goals, and Papu Gomez, you know, playing as a little number 10, and he's just so influential. I mean, they are one of my favourite sides to watch, Atalanta, because they are just free scoring, and they will concede goals every now and again to that type of side. They don't do clean sheets that often, but what you can guarantee is they can score bucket loads of goals in any given game.
20-1 to win the Champions League.
Yeah, I don't think they've got the quality to win it. They might go deep,
and they might surprise a few teams,
but I just think in the very biggest of games, I mean, they only squeezed through their group, and they only squeezed through in a couple of mad games against Valencia. So can they topple the likes of Barca? Can they topple some of the very biggest sides in when it goes deep into the Champions League? I think they'll scare a few, but I don't think they'll win it.
Meanwhile, it's 5th versus 6th today. Roma taking on Napoli. Napoli with a 2-1 win in the end. What a goal from Insigne to win it.
Oh, it's a brilliant game. Mkhitaryan scored for Roma to make it 1-1 after Callahan's early goal. And you think this is in the balance. And the second 45 minutes was end-to-end. And then, as you said, Dan, Insigne pops up on that left-hand side. And You know, he gets it on the left-hand side, he drops inside onto his right foot, and then he curls a beautiful shot, you know, aiming for the crossbar, aiming for that stanchion with a little bit of dip at the end. And it was a stunning goal. It deserved the crowd because the finish was so good. But it was a real entertaining game of football.
Napoli, of course, still in the Champions League, got that second leg against Barcelona with it poised at 1-1. Have you seen anything from them? Because they haven't exactly set the world on fire, have they, of late, to suggest that they can get through Barca?
No, they're inconsistent. When people like Insigne and Mertens and Callejon and Arkadiusz Milik play well at the top end of the pitch, you think they've got a chance. But at the back, I mean, Koulibaly's their rock. I mean, without him, they'd be absolutely nowhere. And he had another sensational game. But defenders around him are nowhere near at the same level. So, again, a little bit like Atalanta. On their day, Napoli, they're an attractive side to watch. But when it comes to the crunch and when it's, you know, when it is crunch time against the biggest of sides, they won't go anywhere near the semis, I wouldn't have thought.
Don, thank you very much. Italian football, of course, continues this week. And what a doubleheader we have for you. Lecce take on Lazio. That's at 1:25 on ESPN2, followed by the big one. Milan against Juventus, 3:45 Eastern on ESPN+. You can catch those games on Tuesday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Of today's show, thank you very much to Frank, to Ali, and to Stevie Nicol. For more from Shaka and Don, stay tuned as they answer your questions on Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka and Don with us. Shaka, how many games have you watched today?
A lot.
You're breaking records today, aren't you? You and
yeah.
Don, you woke up to watch Burnley against who? Sheffield United.
Sheffield United, yeah. Then West Ham, Newcastle. That was a good game, actually.
Ah, two of your old boys going head-to-head. Every team's like your old boy, really. Can Manchester City win the Champions League without Aguero, Don?
Ooh, I would say no. We're not with Jesus leading the line. I think he's game and he has a good go. And he runs around and he closes people down, which Pep likes, but I think at the very elite level, when you think of people like Luis Suarez and Lewandowski, these guys banging the big goals when it matters. And I'm not sure that without Aguero, they can do it.
Shaq?
In a word, no, Dan.
Oh.
Listen, the game against Southampton kind of summed it up. Credit to Southampton for how good they were defensively. Credit to Alex McCarthy for how brilliant he was between the sticks. But when you've got that many chances, you've got to tuck one away at some point. And chances are a premium when you're playing against the best in European football. I just don't feel that Jesus has a high enough average to see City through.
Shaka, after Che Adams' goal today, have you ever been scored on from more than 40 yards out? Wait, should we guess
Nothing
the answer,
I can remember.
Don? Should we guess the answer? Yes.
No, never.
39 yards out?
I have never been beaten from that far out.
Really, Shaq?
You know who I think came the closest? Manninga in goal for Arsenal. He hit one, skipped off the service on a wet pitch and had me scrambling for dear life. And it just went over the crossbar. I had it covered though. I wasn't that worried.
Is that because you stayed on your line, Shaq?
I don't venture very far off, Dan, no.
Do Manchester City need to look for a new left-back, Don? Who would be the best option for them to sign?
They can look all alike, but they've still got the boy at Leipzig, Angelino, on their books still, if I'm correct. And I think he's had a wonderful season there. So I would bring him back.
He
I would
wasn't
invest
very good
time
in the Premier League,
every
though,
time I've seen him play. I think he looks a cracking player.
Not in the Premier League. When he played, he looked completely out of his depth.
Did he?
Yes.
I'm not sure about that. I think you've got to give him time.
Yeah.
He's been away to Leipzig. He's improved technically as a footballer. Maybe his confidence was low trying to fight for that left-back berth. And I think the competition was strong. But, I mean, you can go and play fantasy football if you like and go and spend £50-100 million on a left-back. But you've got Zinchenko and you've got Angelino there. I think there's more pressing worries.
Ugh. I'm
don't,
excited,
don't
I'm saying.
Don, don't listen to Dan. Once Dan puts on that red jacket of his, who knows? Who knows where he's going?
No, I just don't think his performances at Leipzig would fill me with lots of confidence that he's going to come in and be a world-class
But I mean, how many do you want? He's got Benjamin Mendy, he's got Zinchenko, he's got Angelino.
None of them are good enough. If I'm City and I'm looking at how key that position is to me playing, none of them are good enough, are they?
John, don't argue with Red Jacket Dan.
What? Mendy's proved that he can't do it at the highest level. You agree with that, yeah?
So who would you sign?
I don't know. I've just asked the questions.
Well, they can't just go to Bayern and say, look, there's 100 million for Alphonso Davies.
Davies, Don. They get very angry. Davies.
You can't just play fantasy football.
Of course you can. You're Manchester City.
All right. I tell you who I would sign. And I said it today and I stand by it. This might make you two choke. Leroy Sané's now gone to Bayern. I would sign Dwight McNeil from Burnley to replace him. Boom. Yeah.
Look at that. I didn't know how we got here.
How did we get there?
How we get from talking about left back to
Don must have some sort of
deflecting there, Shaq. I was deflecting.
At least you're right. At least you didn't make us choke.
Don, have you spoken to Lampard about what is going to happen with Kepa? Should they sign a different goalkeeper?
I actually haven't spoken to Frank on Kepa, but I think they 100% should sign another goalkeeper because I don't see Kepa ever making big saves, Shaka. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you ever see him pull out a save where you go, ooh, that's rescued Chelsea a point, or ooh, that's rescued Chelsea 3 points? I know you have to give young kids time and to develop. You look at De Gea when he was at Man United and he was quite slim and he was quite slight and he developed into a very good goalkeeper. But I just see Kepa in the nets and I just think Chelsea with him and with a suspect couple of centre-halves, I think they look really fragile and really vulnerable.
But Don, it's not fantasy football. You can't just go out there and spend another 80 million on a goalkeeper considering you just spent 80 million on a goalkeeper.
Well, you can. You can go and sign Ter Stegen, you can go and sign Oblak, you can go and sign anyone you want.
Just bring them in.
Bring them all in.
Shaq, what's happened to Kepa? Brilliant, obviously, in Spain.
Yeah, listen, the thing for you and Don touched on, Kepa's a brilliant shot stopper, certainly by the looks of it during his time in La Liga. But Kepa makes good saves, but not great saves. And just too many little errors that I think cost Chelsea, and he doesn't. And he doesn't deliver points, as Don pointed with the really big saves that you wonder where he produced that from. Every keeper should be making a couple of those a season. I just don't see it from Kepa.
Shaka, how's your shadow puppet, Kate? Go on.
Shaka, would you take Dean Henderson to Chelsea?
Over Kepa, yeah. I still think Henderson has another season or two before he seems at his absolute best. But right now, I'd take him, no question.
Shaka, you have big hands. So you must be quite good at shadow puppets because the way your lighting is today, we can see your head over your right shoulder. Can you give us any, like a rabbit or a bird?
Dan, what? You are not red jacket. I kid you not.
Honestly, you sit up beautifully just to do like a flying little eagle.
You're to the weirdest person planet.
That jacket's gone to his head.
Look, your head's bouncing around everywhere in the background. It'd be lovely if you did like a little bird.
Oh, and then buy a new jacket. Cut that one off.
If you are currently playing, Don, which of the following would you least like to face? Greenwood, Pulisic, or Foden?
Oh, like bang on current form. Greenwood I wouldn't want to play against. Because I think he proved yesterday that he's obviously a left-footed player and he's got a rocket of a left foot, but he proved in the game against Bournemouth that you shift him onto his so-called weaker right foot and he still strikes that one clean into the top corner. So, I mean, three unbelievably talented players, but I think Greenwood looks as though he's going to be a superstar for United. I mean, at a tender age of 18, normally when you look at young players, you think, well, there's a bit of development to go. He can improve here, there and everywhere. But I look at him and I think, man, he is some player.
Shaq?
Well, as a goalkeeper, of course, Greenwood would be my choice, given the position he plays. Second to that, and right now in current form, Pulisic, just from a midfielder's point of view and how good and how effective he has been, just at running from deep in midfield and taking defenders on. He's banging form right now.
Final question. Did Conte flop this season with Inter with the amount of money they spent on bringing players in, Don?
Oh, they've flopped massively. I thought they were going to be really title contenders. And I wasn't sure he sent the right message at the start of the season, Antonio Conte, with his signings. No disrespect to people like Ashley Young, who's been a terrific professional, and Victor Moses, Alexis Sanchez. But it was almost sending the message that he was taking a couple of the Premier League cast-offs and trying to take them to Inter Milan to try and challenge Juve. It was never, ever going to happen.
Shaq?
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, for the names that Don just called, I don't think, you know, they have been that bad for Inter Milan. I just think, as a team, they haven't played well at all. Alexis Sanchez came in at fault for the second goal today. And Conte just doesn't have this team ticking. But for Lautaro Martinez, there's no real excitement about how they played, despite Lukaku and his return, what, 20-plus goals this season. It's nothing really to get you excited with the way Inter play.
No Shout It Puppets to finish, Shaq. That's the end of extra time.
I'll give you
go on, do it. Take the foot. Hey, there it is.
Hey. Oh.
Yes!
Well.
Oh. It's sad how happy that has made me.
You're welcome, world.
That's it, guys. Thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.